extremely seriously, and they clearly are critical and important, and I welcome your invitation to a follow-up briefing, a detailed briefing on some of these outstanding matters. I want to begin with Honorable Letsir's eight questions that he had raised and issues that he had raised. First, with your permission, Chair, we're asking the university CFO, Ms. Ngobe, to address the issue raised regarding VUT's tardiness, to put it mildly, but failure to adequately and timelessly attend to the submission of data to NSFAS. That's the first part. And then the second part of that question that was raised relates to the 670 students and the view that these numbers don't tally with the NSFAS report provided earlier. So that's the first question that I'm going to ask, with your permission, Chair, the CFO to speak to, please.
The CFO, you are asking the CFO to come in.
Yes, please, Chair.
Yes.
CFO on the platform.
Yes, she is, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Prof. Thank you, Prof. And good afternoon to everyone. With all protocols observed, Chairperson. Firstly, I will start with the reconciliation between the numbers that has been presented by NSFAS and also university side. The numbers that were presented by NSFAS, Chairperson, it was based on the 2020 funding status, which is the current year that we are dealing with. And the information has been discussed between NSFAS as well as the university. We are in agreement with the numbers that were presented for 2020. In addition, Chairperson, the 670, which was presented by the university, it's long outstanding issues that we were clearing with NSFAS. I think the issues, they are coming starting from 2017, 2018, and 2019. I think from our side, these were also the burning issues which we had to provide information on. So the numbers, they won't reconcile. However, both numbers, they are being attended to by both VUT as well as NSFAS, because it's different funding, yes, Chairperson. And then when it comes to the submission of data, there is a process, Chairperson, in terms of the submission of data. Indeed, the university submits the data after the registration process has been completed from the university side. And then once the data is submitted, there must be a reconciliation between the university and NSFAS in terms of the funded students. Then on the submission of data, in the past we used to send, an Excel file to NSFAS for them to upload the information on their system. I think currently what we do now as a university, we need to upload the data ourselves. Based on the template that we have compiled. Sometimes we do experience technical errors, which we are expected to take it up with NSFAS and be assisted. But for this particular student, Chairperson, the errors were experienced. However, there was an omission in terms of following up with NSFAS. When we were engaging with NSFAS, we did pick it up that there were attempts to upload. However, those uploads were not successful. On the day that it was successful, Chairperson, it was the last day that the funding cycle for the previous year was closing. And indeed, on the NSFAS side, it was not accepted. I will pause for now, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much. So that question of Honorable Lissier about who was responsible for the delay in capturing of registration on the system. Were you answering that one, CFO?
Yes, Chairperson, the person that was responsible for those students is the university Chairperson, and we have acknowledged.
Oh, is the Chairperson of the university? No, it's fine, it's okay, CFO, you don't have to, but the question was, somebody was supposed to do his or her job by capturing and downloading the registration data. That person did not do that. It was only uploaded on the 31st or 21st of July, and as a result, it disadvantaged the student. So you are saying it's the entire university that is to be blamed. So we must blame the whole institution.
Can I correct?
Okay.
Yes, Chairperson, when I say the university, I wanted to say the financial aid office, the official at the financial aid office, which they report to the office of the CFO. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Chair, if I could simply make a note here that my intention was for us to complete this exercise because the official is directly involved in this exercise before we proceed with disciplinary action against the concerned individual, precisely for the reasons that you have mentioned, Chair.
Okay.
So, Chair, if we could move along to the two tenders, the security tender, as well as the laptop tender, and I'm going to ask the chair of that committee and acting DVC, Prof. Van der Bank, with your permission, if she could deal with both of those matters, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. All protocol of this. I can just mention, first start with the security tender. In security tender, I have in front of me the BEC report out of the 54, and then the BEC said there was no briefing taking place to meet the mandatory requirements. Then we took it to MANCOM, and MANCOM agreed with the decision of the BEC that we must have a briefing. It was during the time of the COVID when we were in, I think, on level 4. That they and then we have a briefing session online on Teams to tell them exactly what they must do. In front of me, I've got all the 54 then again submit, and out of the 54, we have 11 that could go through to their functionality. In the functionality, they must meet, after they meet the mandatory requirements, 11 of them were supposed to meet to receive 70% in functionality, and only 6 could go through of that, while one of them, but they just lose some points because it was not mandatory, that they did not, one of their certificates is expired. And then the evaluation one, totally out of the 92, came out, and then according to that, the lowest one. I can also say part of this tender was that in a period of 5 years, totally insourcing would take place. There are certain steps. I think Boitamelo can just tell us how far they are with the insourcing. So in a period of 5 years, because the tender was for 5 years, the whole security will be insourced, and they were well aware of it. So that was the outcome of the security tender. Rose, if I left out anything here, and maybe Boitamelo, just the insourcing, also part, how far are we with it? Can I just ask them to comment?
With your permission, Chair, if I could just interrupt, instead of us having too many responses, am I okay to proceed, Chair?
Yeah, I wanted her to finish her part so that we don't go back to her.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm, Chair, with your permission, that the tender is indeed a tender for 5 years, but as the university insources the protection services staff over the next 4 years, the contract then ends in 5 years' time, and that will bring to an end the externalization of the university's protection services. And the process of insourcing has already commenced with the insourcing of the supervisors and middle managers and the first group of protection service staff. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. The security one?
Okay, I finished the security one. And if I can just go back to the laptop one, I did not have the information in front of me. That's why I thought that Rose will, or Nontando will, maybe if I miss out something. There, according to the BEC, remember, the BEC evaluates all the tenders there, and there was no one that meets all the mandatory requirements. Therefore, we bring it back to MANCOM. After the BAC evaluates, not evaluates, adjudicates on the BEC, and that all the, it was a fair process, and then MANCOM said that we must, we can't wait. There was a desperate need. We started online with all our students, and most of them complained that they did not have any laptops or data or any devices to continue with the second with the 6 weeks still of first semester and then the 6 weeks. So we were pushed for time. We took it back to the to the MANCOM, and MANCOM said we are not going to re-advertise again, and that we will, and our procurement policy allow, or supply chain management policy allow, to go for an open tender, and from there we secure 4 from one tender and 3 from the other tender, 3,000 from 4,000 from the one tender and from 3,000 from the other tender. The reason why is the first one was more applicable to management sciences and human sciences, the specs, and then the specs, the other 3,000 was more specific for electrical engineering as well as the one of applied and computer sciences. So then we bought from them and we distributed to all the others. That is just...
Okay. I think we will need a report in as far as that is concerned. There's so many questions that we can raise, but I think because now time is, we no longer have time, and we're just relying on your verbal report. I think we need to get some more information, particularly when we have followed a competitive bidding process, and then it doesn't produce the results, and then you abandon it and you go for something else. So you must demonstrate to us how is it allowed by your procurement police, and whether some of the people who ultimately were requested quotation for, were they not some of those people who have tendered? And if it is the case, why didn't you just proceed and evaluate them on the basis of? Because the Constitution says that you must follow an open, transparent, and competitive bidding process. You must not circumvent that process. So we want to understand how that process was followed. How competitive was it? How transparent was it? And all of that. But let's come back to that. And I see Honorable Lucia says you are also not answered. So maybe when we come back again, let's come up with a written responses. It says the question is the tender was concluded, and if so, who's appointed and when. So I think I'm sure you will be able to respond to those questions. Prof?
Yes, thanks very much, Chair. Thanks for allowing us the opportunity then to provide a written report to you in both instances, that is the laptop tender and the security tender. And certainly we will provide you with a written report within the next 7 days. And again, we look forward to the opportunity again with the honourable members and yourself to work through those two reports as well. With your permission then, Chair, if we could move to Honourable Theo's question about the interim FRC and why there has been this almost 6 month delay. With your permission, if I could ask Professor Linnington if she could speak to that report, to that matter, please. Thanks, Chair.
thank you, Honourable Chair, and thank you, Members. The FRC has elections almost a year and around September, and the constitution of the FRC needed to be re-looked at and realigned last year in about September, October, in order to actually have SRC elections. In order to bring about those changes to the Constitution, there were various meetings held with the SRC and no conclusion was actually finalized. In fact, in February this year, there was a mass meeting with all the students to try and finalize the constitution of the SRC in terms of elections, and that meeting collapsed, and straight after that we came to COVID and lockdown. So as a result of that, we had two problems. One, we didn't have an SRC anymore, and secondly, we do not have a constitution for the elections because there was an agreement that it needed to be revised. So in discussion with the student structures, we produced a document that went to NANCOM to set up an interim SRC with certain criteria in the document that we then took back to the students for consultation. This consultation with the students actually took quite a while, and it was really because we were discussing with the different student political parties on how to proceed. And we actually finalized that document with a bit of going back to MANCOM and going back to the students only about 3 weeks ago. Where finally everyone agreed that we were actually happy with what the criteria in the document was and exactly how we were going to run it. The interim SRC is set up according to the Constitution, and one of its mandates is actually to revise the whole student constitution and the SRC constitution and the electoral commissions so that we can actually have elections. So everyone has actually agreed to the document, and as a result of that, the students for the interim SRC had to nominate their candidates. Some of the candidates have not met and the criteria for the part of the SRC, so we've gone back to the student structures and asked them to resubmit names. As of Friday, we have names of everyone involved except for two parties. We had not resubmitted names of students that met the criteria. So we have actually submitted that document to the management committee for approval, and we have a request that as soon as we get names from the two outstanding student structures that we can then proceed with that. If we delay it any longer and don't send it off for agreement, then we'll find that we cannot finalize the matter. So we are continuing and at the same time engaging with the two structures that haven't submitted names of students that meet the criteria. So the interim SRC is essential because there are certain matters that were outstanding before the close down of COVID that have to be addressed before we can actually have elections. So the interim SRC is there to actually put that all in place towards next year, and then we'll have elections and we'll have a new constitution as well that will have been consulted with students and agreed with to them. I can supply all the documents if necessary.
For how long is the interim SRC going to be?
It was originally going to be for 4 months. That was one of the sticking points. Eventually it was 6 months, is what we suggested. It's going to be for a year, because that allows us to get our elections back into the right process again. So we'll have elections so that we actually have elections in September every year, and our SRC then gets back into the right rhythm of elections. And that was in agreement with the students. So it's been, that was one of the sticking points we had a long discussion about, and that eventually everyone's agreed on that point.
Okay, do you see that just before Prof comes, is it the DVC was speaking? Do you see the comment there by the former president?
No, I haven't seen the comments. I can't see comments at the moment.
The SRC constitution has never been reviewed for the past 10 years, and there's a court ruling that the university can have elections before reviewing the constitution.
Which is precisely why we have an interim SRC chair, and that they have to sort that out. So the whole purpose of the interim SRC is to sort all that out so that we can actually continue and have proper elections. Which is why the suggestion that we just jump into elections now is actually not feasible for us. We have to have an interim SRC in order to sort out the matters that have been raised.
So this interim SRC, we could not have it before the disbandment or the coming to an end of the current one?
Chair, that's historical. Before I started at the university, I do know that they actually had a mass meeting or it was in vivo to actually sort it out, and for whatever reason that collapsed. When I started, Chair, on the 1st of April, that had collapsed, and the whole issue was, let's get an interim SRC. Now the SRC's time has actually elapsed. And so I know there were quite a lot of efforts to actually get the whole issue around the constitution sorted out before the end of the SRC's term of office, but it didn't happen. So as a result, we've actually gone the route we have in order to try and resolve all the issues. We are very aware that the students are very important and then they need a voice. And so I'm extremely happy that we've managed to eventually get everyone to agree on the same page. It's all 16 different student associations are on board, and we will take the process forward as fast as possible after that.
Okay. I think maybe let's conclude this one of SRC, Prof, and how it was handled, because there's quite a lot of unhappiness about the fact that there is no SRC currently as we speak. Everybody knew that their term of office was coming to an end in April, and nothing was done. And we've got a situation where it's 6 months after that without an SRC. The cafeteria where they are supposed to be, it's part of student life, has been closed. Some lounge has been closed. Nobody is there to speak for the students. So the impression gets created that it's deliberate, that the SRC's mandate is left to a lapse, so that there is a vacuum and there is nobody else to represent the students. There is no voice of the students, including even in this meeting, we had to go and look for students whose term of office had lapsed, but we saw that we can't get into this kind of a meeting without the voice of the students, and then we invited them. So we really just need an explanation about that. Maybe the DVC was not there when these things were happening, but the university was under administration.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. I can assure you that it has never been my or our collective intention to create a vacuum in respect of the SRC leadership and the important role and responsibility of the SRC as spelled out in their own constitution and in the university statute. I can assure you and vehemently so, Chair, that that was never the intention. I personally had invested considerable time just before the lockdown in, if you like, an endeavor with all of the student leaders, the chairs and secretaries, and in some cases the full executives of all of the student organizations on campus, in which I tried very hard to find a defensible, principled, if you like, midway in respect of the issues on which there is great difference amongst the organizations. And yet we were very close, Chair, to reaching an agreement, and then the lockdown happened. And I just want to reinforce, Chair, Prof. Linnington's point that, firstly, the delay subsequent to the expiry of term of office of the SRC is largely due to the stirring and throwing between management and the student organizations, first about reaching agreement on the academic qualifications, qualifying criteria. That took 6 weeks. Then when that was resolved, we then had to wait on names to be brought to us. To this day, as you have heard, we have not had representatives put forward in the instance of two political organizations. And so we are desperate to get the interim SRC in place. And then the second point, Chair, is just to reinforce again a point made by Prof. Linnington, that it was always our intention to cap the interim SRC term at 6 months, irrespective. And therefore the pressure that's come for a 12-month long interim SRC is not one that has come from management. I just want to assure you that that is not the position of management, but in the end, we have to find a middle way between management's position and the student leaders of these various political organizations. But we have certainly taken note of the strong views that have been expressed by yourself and by the honorable members who have spoken to this issue, and we certainly will take that into consideration, Chair. We do not take your comment and your strong advice lightly. With your permission, Chair?
The 12 months is not going to work, Prof. The students need to be represented by a democratically elected leadership, not by an appointed leadership. The term of office for an SRC is 12 months. So if you put up an interim structure for 12 months, now you are substituting the rights of the students to elect their own representatives, which our democratic foundation is based on that one, that you must elect your representative like we do. We are also representatives of the people. We are elected in parliament. The student, the same way, it must just be like that. So the 12 months is something that we don't really accept it. The interim must be transitional. Interim in its nature has to be a transition to something permanent. And the permanent arrangement is a 12-month arrangement, which is something that they must must happen, because now you are going to elect the leaders of the students by design. If you put up this thing for 12 months, so it has to be for an interim period. The elections must take place. If, for instance, you give them 3 months, you say in the next 3 months, you must work towards making sure that all the structures, everybody agree on the constitution, and then from there, you take you go for the elections. Sometime next year, after all the students have been admitted, you go for the elections. In fact, it's something that the student leadership, if they are pushed into a situation where they sit down together, you give them a period of 30 days, they work through the constitution, they agree on the constitution, because they themselves also want the elections to take place. They agree on the constitution, it gets adopted in whatever processes, then you have the elections. Because this thing of 12 months is not going to work. That is going to be contrary to the spirit of electing your own representative. So I don't think we will accept that. Can you move to other points, Prof?
Yes, Chair. If we could move to Honorable Lutsia's next set of questions. Firstly, though, in respect of the LSM trading matter, I just want to indicate, Chair, that we did provide a formal response to you when you asked for us to provide a formal response. That response was that in our view, in our assessment, in our own internal or in our own audit that was conducted by an external auditor, we believe that there was wrongdoing in this particular work. I just want to indicate that subsequent to that response to your office, Chair, a legal process has been initiated, and the matter, I don't want to call it glibly a sub judice, but it is now a legal process which is in play. I'm not sure, Chair, if you want me to respond any further to that matter.
No, you can proceed. I think we know that the response is there.
Thank you very much, Chair. Then in respect of Honorable Lexia's question about e-learning and data provision, I can assure you and the committee that we had done everything possible to provide our students with data, and we understand that something of the order of about 400 or 500 students might not have been supported, and we are continuously making efforts to get their updated mobile numbers. And so this is simply a case of the mobile number has not been corrected despite our many appeals. In respect of Honorable Lethea's question about residences being unhygienic, in particular that it allowed for the spread of COVID-19, if I could ask Prof. from the bank, if she could respond to how the university has dealt with this issue in terms of preparation of our campuses and residences, and whether indeed there is a case that has been spread in our residences because of our failure to put in place the necessary measures to secure hygienic conditions.
Thank you, Prof. I just want to respond on that. We have a run done during, I think it was in just in April. If something happened at that stage, we did not have any students, and the whole committee, as well the COVID-19 as well as the MANCOM, walk around, and we inspect all the different places at the residence, all the residents, especially where we were, if we have an outbreak, where we keep the students. There was, then we have the first case on a Friday, 4 o'clock that Friday, So we moved the students the Saturday over, and all of them was voluntary if they want to go there. And we inspect again, and it was clean, but there were certain areas, because we did not expect to move 24 students at once. Certain areas not. There was security, all the things that was said there, there was security. Food was provided to all the students during that time for a period of 10 days while they were kept there, and all the hygiene things were done, and all of them were clean. And we, at that stage, we also sit with a problem that our cleaners was not on campus, because it was on level 5, so or level 4, sorry, level alert level 4. So, but everything was done, and all the residents are now, where we kept the students are clean and hygiene. So we also respond to the article that came out, and it was not placed in that case. So what was done there? So that's just our response. Everything was done. All the students received a mask. All of them that go through the induction, all of them were sanitized. The sanitizers, the dispensers were there. All of them were done there at that stage. Thank you.
Okay, if we could then move to Honorable Lipsia's question about the assessor's report, with particular reference to lifestyle audits and whistleblowing and the declaration of conflicts of interest. If I could ask the registrar, Dr. Nkwena, to deal with those issues, please. Thank you.
Okay. On this one, we did say that we will ask that we have a follow-up meeting with yourself and your team, where we will be able to track the progress in as far as implementing the assessor's report. And this is one of the issues in the assessor's report about the disclosure of interest what was the other one, the lifestyle audit. So I'm not sure whether we could, I think we would require that in the next meeting when we engage, but it has to be in writing. But the others, I think you can respond to them now.
Thank you very much, Chair. So we will, on those three then, we will perhaps just add that also to our list of written responses ahead of our next engagement.
Yeah, let me just, because I wanted to do it at the end, maybe just for now, let me say the issues for further engagement are the following. The implementation of the assessor's report and the SNG report in respect of all the issues that have been raised and the progress in implementation. I've just mentioned some of them, like the review of the institutional statutes, appointment of the ombudsman, the the lifestyle audit together with the declaration of interest and all of that. The DC, for those who have been identified as having done wrong things and all of that. So we will have a follow-up session where we can then just focus on those ones, which are the basis for the administration at the university. And then now there is another one, and I said there is about seven allegations. The first one was the purchase of academia student residence, which I said there are some specifics there about the tender, the validity period having expired, the letter of offer having expired, and all of that. So I was saying that we require a detailed response. And then the other one was the SNG and assessor's report, and I think that one will deal with that. But there is a specific allegation that there are 20 people who have been implicated for those allegations there. Nothing was done about those things. And then for the procurement, there were about 5. two of them have been disciplined, three have not been disciplined, so there is a complaint about selective. So we require that engagement. And then the third one is a security tender. We have just received an explanation, but I think she can just be a bit more detailed, because what she was, the new information is that there was no briefing session because there was COVID, and then Nyonko said no, we must go and do a briefing session. So I don't know whether the briefing session was a criteria for disqualification or what was the issue there. So we need information in as far as that is concerned, and how the process was finally concluded, and as Honorable Lucia was asking, who was appointed. And then there is a laptop tender, the processes that was followed, and then Nyonko said, no, leave this one, because it's urgent, you must give students the laptops, let's go and get quotations and so forth. So we also need a detailed report, in particular, respond to the allegations that are there, because we want to get comfort from whatever information that you have, so that we can assess whether we're on the same page or something wrong has happened. For instance, I was saying whether in the process of asking for quotation, was any of the people who tendered approached to submit the quotations or what? So respond to that as well. And then this appointment of advisors, I said you handle it at a high level to say there was due diligence that was done. But you did not explain what was the content of the due diligence, what did it entail, and what was the outcome. And what about this allegation that they mentioned the person had an issue or whatever. And the last one is the appointment of the law firm. Also, if we can just clarify that one, what was the process that was followed? You've already said there is nothing. You can just confirm that as well. So I'm saying those are the issues that will constitute follow-up when we meet. But the rest of the other issues, I think you can respond to them. Okay, Prof.
Thank you very much, Chair, for that clarification. I'm just looking at the list of Honorable Mkachwa. The first is her and our concern, shared concern about sex for positions. What we have done is to undertake an audit now, because there are no individuals who are named in either the assessor's report on any other report, Chair and members. And so what we have undertaken, and it is close to conclusion, is to undertake a chapter and verse review of each and every appointment that has been made in the last 3 years, in order to establish whether those were within the policy. It's clear that we might not pick up any of the other any instances that way, and that many instances may have gone through a so-called legitimate quote-unquote appointment process. And so we agreed on this, and that we are giving certainly this matter attention to, and we will share that report, that audit report, with the committee when it is completed. In respect of communication, all I can say there, Chair, is that in the instance of labor, we just had a communique last week. We just had a detailed discussion last week with the labor unions, in which I shared chapter and verse with the organization the state of the institution, including the financial state of the institution and the risks that lie ahead for the institution. I cannot understand the basis for the claim that there is no engagement or that there is an irritation with engagement on the part of the administrator in engaging, for example, with labor organizations. On this issue that was raised by Honorable Mkhatshwa, specifically about the culture of dismissiveness of the administrator, the issue in question here is that somebody had leaked my telephone number to students, and the next thing I received hundreds of WhatsApp messages from students on my personal mobile, and I found that unacceptable and directed students to the university's official responsible for dealing with these matters. I can indicate that I've also received extensive communication from Honorable Letsia, in which he had shared with me and in which we had discussions and agreement on him assisting in providing that list of students. And I believe it is the direct result of that engagement with Honorable Letsia that we were able to bring some of these matters to a head, but not all at this particular point in time. So I certainly have been responsive, I believe, to Honorable Letsia's interventions, and I have been putting considerable pressure on the NSFAS office precisely because of this image that was received from students that they were not being attended to properly. But I certainly cannot accept, Chair, that students are given my personal mobile number and then flood my WhatsApp app in the manner that has happened. I don't think anybody should be willing to accept that situation. Turning to the next issue of the satellite campuses, in the instance of Salt Lake, let me back up first, Chair, and indicate that the situation that we are confounded with, certainly in the instance of Secunda campus and the Uppington campus, is that the enrollment on those campuses, on both campuses, are simply inadequate, and the costs versus the benefits for us is enormous, in particular in a context in which the university will struggle to finance itself into the period beyond January of next year. I just want to, at the same time, Chair, indicate to Honorable Temba Kwayo that it is indeed our intention to absorb these members of staff should the two campuses in particular not be absorbed by Salt Lake, and we have had discussions with Salt Lake as recently as a month ago about this, and we're continuing to engage them. And so should these two campuses not be taken up, absorbed into these two universities, Mpumalanga and Salt Lake, then it is our intention to move the staff and students, certainly the staff, to absorb them into the establishment on our other two campuses. So we have no intention of simply dropping these members of staff. Our commitment that we have made to the labor organizations just last week is a commitment of the preservation of jobs in the institution, and then that is our primary concern as we face the difficulty that I have referred to. Turning to again to Honorable Temba Kwayo, in terms of the policies, the first question that you had raised, I just want to indicate that the complete review of all that is of policies, all policies will be completed at the end of October. And you're absolutely correct. The question is whether those are going to be properly socialized and adopted in the institution. And that's a key part of the role, of at least key responsibility during the administration period. The disciplinary actions that you have raised about why are there these ongoing delays? Firstly, Honorable Temba Kwayo, the legal representatives of these individuals and staff members and suspended members have made full use of the lockdown period and have used the lockdown period simply to insist on postponements, whether these are in the CCMA itself or whether it is the legal proceedings, disciplinary proceedings that we have initiated in the instances that the chair has referred to, and we will provide, as the chair has indicated, a detailed account of who and why are being taken through a disciplinary process that we will provide. So we certainly will ensure accountability for all of that which had been identified in the independent assessment report. Address the satellite campuses, lots of staff on those campuses, security tender laptops. On the issue, Chair and Honourable Temba Kwayo, of the laptops, we have made it up front quite clear that in the instance of NSFAS students, that the source for funding of these laptops would be those students' book allowances. There was no question about that. In the instance of non-NSFAS students, we had similarly indicated that these devices are not for free. They are on loan, and that their amortized value would be computed at the time that the student exits the university. And so we have provided on our website and then directly to students who opted in, we have provided the contract that spells out precisely the details of this loan agreement in respect of the laptops. Perhaps, Chair, if in regard to Honourable Mananiso's question about goods and services, although I apologise, the question was asked of Ntewu colleagues if they could be specific and demonstrate, give examples of that. I apologise for repeating that. In respect of Honourable Sibiya's questions, there were two, the SRC and meetings. We have addressed that particular one in respect of HR instability. All I can say on that matter, Chair and members, is that I was equally shocked and surprised, like the Labour representatives, to receive notice of resignation of the head of human resources and then a refusal on his part to even take a phone call from me in order to understand the reason for that. And so I am as blindsided as you are with regret about the resignation of the executive director for human resources. In respect of Honor Bosch's question, in regard to the Uppington campus, are all stakeholders involved? As far as we are concerned, yes, and that includes the Premier, with whom we spent time taking the Premier also through the detail of the decision-making process, and also encouraged the Premier to engage with the SME, apologies, with the Soul Plighty leadership to encourage them to give strong consideration to taking on the Uppington campus into that institution. So, Chair, those are the issues that I have listed. I know that Honourable Mananiso has directed a range of issues at at the representative organizations. Thanks, Chair. I'm not sure if I've missed out any issue.
No, I think you're fine. I would like us to finish now because my time is already exceeded way past what I was thinking that the meeting should take. I'm gonna ask if there is anything from Nehao. Is there anything that you want to say in a minute? Okay, nothing from Nehao. From Dale? Anything
from Nehao? Hello, Chair, we have nothing to add.
Okay, thank you, Dale. Nehao, a minute.
Nehao, we have nothing at this stage. We wait for the report.
Okay, thank you very much.
Report,
thank you very much. The students, are you still students or you're on suspension? What's the situation?
Yes, Chair. Sorry. Yeah, one minute.
Yes, Kevin, in a minute, just comment there.
I wanted to clarify on, in your presence on the issue of suspension from the visit, how far are they with the appeal, so that you know you are all aware of the issues of the suspension.
What's the situation? Are you on suspension? You are on appeal, or are you student, or you are on suspension?
Well, we are students, pending the appeal, but it's been 2 months the appeal is not responded.
Okay.
So it's been dragging, that's the concern that we have.
Okay, and then what's the other one? Former president?
Thank you very much. Allow me to just extend our gratitude for the invitation to this meeting. There's nothing much that I'd like to say.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Lizia, you say 30 seconds. Please don't ask a question because I'm not going to allow any further responses.
Yes, but it's clarity, Chair. In the presentation, the administrator said they've appointed security and the lady was responding, did not get to that part. She was just going steps and then, if they can just say, is it true they've appointed, who, when, and those things.
They have appointed after a process. They will give us that in writing in the next 7 days. But she did say that they have appointed a person. And after 4 years, they will be in associate and stuff. I think let's appreciate you coming and your responses, Prof. Ransbeck. I noticed that you are very cool and composed, and if that's your approach to matters there, it will really help because it doesn't want us to be emotional when we deal with the issues. But I must say I was quite impressed with your demeanor and how you were composed in dealing with the matters. We must thank you very much. So we are going to have a follow-up. We will communicate the date. But just for today, you did respond on the issue of closing of campuses, but I could pick up that there is some discontent from the side of the members. I think when we engage again, if we can get some comfort that we have had the discussion with the universities, especially, for instance, in Northern Cape, there's a Salt Black University, there's been an engagement there so that they're able to take over whatever services or functions that have been rendered in there. And the same with other provinces. The University of Ekurhuleni is not going to be realized anytime this year or next year. So it's going to be a process. The department is busy with the feasibility studies. We've been very hard on them that they have not allocated enough funds for that feasibility study. So if the intention is to pull out now, hoping that the university is going to come, it isn't going to come anytime soon. So in areas where there's nothing, there's going to be a vacuum, I think the view is that please reconsider those areas. But I think we find our request to yourself is that please speed up this issue of the students who have appealed. If there is to be a constitution of the panel, please do that. But listen to the appeal. Because matters like this ones, we always encourage that they must be expedited so that they don't delay and delay and delay, and by the time you have to attend to them, it's all under the bridge. It becomes an academic exercise. The academic year has come to an end and all of that. So please, Prof, together with your team, follow up this matter, and probably when we meet again, you will brief us on what you have done with this matter. And I hope that you've been listening to everybody else here. We've had a good engagement, honorable members. It took longer than what we had planned, but I think it was quite helpful and very productive. There are those issues that we have identified that we need to have a follow-up, and we'll communicate in as far as that is concerned to the members. We were supposed to have a meeting with the minister tomorrow on the saving the 2020 academic year. We have received the request from the minister that we should postpone it to next week because there's a cabinet, extended cabinet lokhotla taking place. We have agreed to that request. So we will meet next week with the minister on Friday. So the meeting tomorrow is cancelled. We will meet again on Friday. We have got a meeting with NSFAS. It is also going to be quite a very long meeting, given the kind of issues that we have received. We have created sufficient time to engage with the issues. So we'll be having the NSFAS. We'll also be having the complainant, which is Nahau. Who will be taking us through the issues there. But otherwise, thank you very much. Thanks for coming, Prof. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, Trustee Chair.
Thank you.
Students want to receive their attention.
I want to echo those sentiments, honorable.
The allowances to students